Welcome to another episode of Since Y'all Don't Read. I'm your host, Mia Chantel, and this week I have the privilege of interviewing Monica Gibbs Marsh. Monica, how are you?
I am fine. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, doing all right. So I'm excited to have you on because you recently published a book, a novel. And you know, I always like to hear from authors and see where they get their inspiration from, see, you know, what drove them to write such like in-depth stories, especially about, you know, Black women. So before we jump into that, just give me a little bit of background about yourself, because I know that you are an artist as well, which we'll get into, but you know, what got you to this point in life to where you decided, you know, I want to explore these different avenues of creativity?
Okay. Well, I have been pretty much a visual artist my whole life. That's all I've ever really done. Like, I've been drawing and things like that since just a child. And so I pursued that in college. I went into graphic design. So my degree is in graphic design, and I have I've studied website design, etc. So that's been my profession for a long time. I was gonna say how many years, but I'm like, you know, we don't need to get into all that. But that's been my main profession for a very long time. And I've gotten to do like freelance work for different people. One of them was Issa Rae for a moment. I've done stuff for like Warwick Dunn, and it's just afforded me some cool opportunities. So you know, that was my main gig. But I've always still drawn and done painting on the side a little bit, but it was just kind of pushed to the back burner. I've been doing more of that in conjunction with this novel, because like publishing a book is expensive and I wanted to do my own cover. So
yes.
I went back to my you know, painting roots and did some artwork for that. But as far as the novel goes, it's just a story that's kind of been stuck in my head for decades, really, and just an idea of, I guess, showcasing, like you said, a young Black woman is my main character, and just overcoming and triumph and stuff like that. And 2020 is really what, I guess, propelled me to finish it, because I had been writing off and on this book for a very long time. And, you know, I would be serious about it, write on it for months and months at a time, and then life would happen, and then I would put it down, and maybe like 2 years before I pick it back up. So 2020 happened. It changed a lot of people's perspective on life. I lost my father in 2020.
Wow.
And I was just kind of like, you know, life is just short and I'm not going to F around and let me just finish this book, whatever. So that's kind of what had me go ahead and knock it out, if you would, and, you know, proceed with the novel aspect of it.
The title of the book is Songs of Lost Things. And then I also noticed it's Sonata for the Sun. Now, this title is very unique. Is this something that you immediately knew when you were writing the story? Like, did you start with the title and say, this is kind of how I want this to flow? Or did you have this story in your mind and that title was something that you later came up with after you were like down the road and writing and trying to finish it?
The title came out down the line, like after I finished it, just simply because the story has a lot of musical themes and kind of revolves around music. And honestly, when you get into like writing a novel or not just a novel, but the producing art in any form is completely different from the marketing aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a title per se. And it was after I was researching like best practices and coming up with titles that I was like, I came down to this where, you know, you want it to kind of be short. I mean, I have a subtitle, but you want the main title to kind of be short,
right?
Kind of reflect some of the themes in whatever it is, but maybe carry a little bit of mystique if it's fiction to pique people's interest. And so that's where that came from. That was nothing that, like, from the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is it. No, that was just like, oh, how can I get this title down to like 4 or 5 words or whatever?
That's real.
So,
That's real.
right.
Okay. So Lavender is the protagonist in this story. She's the main character. It's centered around her and her kind of life and experience with music, and her father kind of being instrumental in having this be like what he wants for her. So, are there real life topics covered in Lavender's story that are parallel to your life or parallel to a Black woman that you know? Or how did you come up with that storyline for Lavender?
The only parallels to my life is kind of like in the physical setting in certain places, and a few of the characters, you pull from people in your life, and people who are very close to me who read it will probably say, oh, I see, that person in that person. But it's fictional, it's not my story, but it really could be anybody's story. It's reality or whatever. Short story, a very short story for a flash fiction endeavor I was doing that is still in this world or related to this world. I don't know, I may work on that or polish it up some more. I don't know. I had an idea to continue with one of the characters' story, but I don't know. Initially, I was just kind of like, it was a one and done. I kind of wanted to just complete this story. I mean, it ends in a way where
There's
it could be the
potential.
ending or it could not. And that's kind of like, I like most stories kind of like that as a semi-open ending. But, I don't know. It just depends. This is obviously my first novel. This is my first foray into the writing world, period. It's been a learning experience, and some things went as expected, and a lot of things did not. It's kind of just kind of like, we'll see. We'll see if I want to continue maybe putting stuff out in this format. So I don't
I mean, I can
know.
definitely sympathize with that and understand because the publishing process, let me tell you, I was ready to pull my hair out. Like,
Right.
okay, so from your perspective, what was something that you wish you knew about the process that, it's like, okay, damn, it would have been great if I kind of had this foresight or if someone would have told me this, like that would have made the process at least easier, in a sense.
I probably would have, and I started early, like, or early for me as somebody who has never done this and just researching, and everybody was like, you need to market like way before, months before your book is actually published. You need to find ARC readers, et cetera, et cetera. And I started early, which to me was, I think I started like 5 or maybe 5 months ahead of time, maybe kind of
No, that's
trying to put it
early.
out there. But I didn't know what to market because it was like, I don't have a book finished, so what am I saying? What am I marketing? But I probably would have started sooner than that in building a base or building followers in of something. I have a little bit of an advantage than other people because I can do artwork, and maybe I would have done more artwork and kind of pushed that out since I didn't have the book already done. I definitely would have tried to search for ARC readers way ahead of time because that was the most difficult process. Just, you have a lot of people who sign up to be ARC readers, but they don't bring the feedback back that you're asking for. And I ran out of time for me because I had announced a date that I was going to release it. And even though I'm not, traditionally published, I'm just like, I announced this date, I wanted to adhere to this date, and so it is what it is. So I just kind of ran out of time for getting the amount of feedback that I wanted in time for that date, or understanding that if you want 20 reviews or 20 instances of feedback before a certain time, you need to probably send out hundreds of ARC requests, because you're only going to maybe get 10% back, if that. So that's a lesson for anybody, you know.
You wrote this novel under your pen name. How did you decide you wanted to write under a pen name instead of your given name?
Okay. I probably should have mentioned this when you asked me about connections to my real life.
Yeah.
My pen name, well, it's really just the last name that is dissimilar from mine, is a homage to my family. And one of the settings, like I said, the setting in the book is kind of closely related to me. I visually can see like the home that my mother grew up with her siblings, and it was in a poorer side of Montgomery, the city. I'll go ahead and say the setting. a poor side of town, and like that was their home. She had 10 other siblings.
Wow.
It was like a 2 or 3 bedroom home. This is like, yeah, this is,
but it's back in the day.
Yeah, this is right. This is, you know, definitely Jim Crow era.
Okay.
You know, South. And so it was just a homage to my family, you know, in general. So I wanted to incorporate that in some sense, because, you know, I was like, this may be my one and only book. So
right.
I'm going to, you know, pay the respect while I'm able to, or when I know I can. So
do you have inspiration from other authors like Toni Morrison, or did you have any kind of like writers that you knew you wanted to not necessarily emulate in your style of writing, but the type of storytelling that they had? Like, is that something that you drew inspiration from other writers, or is this something that you knew just this is a story you wanted to tell, and it was just a matter of getting the pen to paper to make sure it came to life?
I did just want to get this story out. There was no real style or author I kind of followed in, and I read fiction a little bit. I read more nonfiction, but especially while writing this, I was trying to stay away from fiction because I didn't want anybody else's style seep into mine, to my voice in any way, shape, or form. I would just say that, and I always say this like on social media or whatever, that home going with from Yagiyasi, I'm trying to remember if I'm saying the name right. I wasn't trying to emulate her, but that's like one of my favorite books, and it was because she just incorporated literally centuries of different people, mm-hmm. In this fiction, and different characters, POVs each chapter. But me personally, I still, it was just the way she wrote it, I still felt a connection with each and every one of them, even though you only get to spend like that one chapter with them. And it's a span of 200 years, I think. And so I'm not saying that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write the next homegoing or whatever. But the ambition was like trying to incorporate a tale that covered, you know, a couple of generations,
yeah,
and different family members or within a family of like a family saga, mm-hmm. and, you know, generational trauma is a theme in it. So that was the goal, to kind of get close to that. I never thought I would come close to that at all. This woman has studied, I think she was an English major. I studied graphic design. So I'm just like, I'm not trying to say I'm ever coming close to that, but I was just kind of like, yeah, that was the goal. Cause that novel always stuck with me and still sticks with me. So.
Okay. Now, Homegoing, you said, was like one of your most impactful reads. And I noticed you have like a reading list of just your favorite reads from 2023. Have you started reading anything in 2024 that has really like piqued your interest?
Right now, I am reading like a nonfiction. I got off fiction for a while, and mm-hmm. maybe because I like to torture myself, because the election is coming up, I decided to read Prequel by Rachel Maddow.
Mm-hmm.
Nonfiction. It just covers a span of time in American history where we teetered almost towards fascism. This is going to sound really bleak and depressing, but but it's supposed to be hopeful because it's kind of like, but we didn't. Like, we came close on several occasions. There were several leaders who were Trump prequels to Trump. That's why it's called prequel. But we as a nation came together and was like, not today, Satan. And so, I decided to start on that coming up to the election. So
I mean, that's good. It's good to kind of know. They say history repeats itself. So it's like, if you know better, you do better. Hopefully, we'll
it's
see.
really good for anybody interested, and you will be like, oh wow, this sounds exactly like stuff going on right now. I don't know how to feel, but yeah.
I might need that. I might need that sense of hope. So I'm gonna have to pick that up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, what other nonfiction books have you read that have just been like, wow, that was like a really great retelling of history, or it just felt like, okay, this is something people need to know. Like, you want to just share at least share the story with your friends and be like, y'all gotta read this. Like, you might not have known about it, or it kind of got your like conspiracy theories going in your head. Like, have you had any nonfiction books that have really got you worked up in a good way?
Not recently. That's the only nonfiction recently, but I will say that some Octavia Butler, because I don't know if I mentioned that. I mentioned that in one social media post. The Parable of the Sower, I think that's the one I'm referencing from Octavia Butler, because I read a couple of them, but she wrote it in 93 or 94, but it's dystopian. And I think it was about 2029. A lot of this stuff is like just running together in my mind right now. But I think it was about 2029. And so it was written in 93, 94. And the nation had kind of collapsed at that point. I read cheerful stuff, as you could tell. I read very cheerful stuff. the nation had kind of collapsed at that point. And there was actually, I'm sorry, there was actually sla some slave, a little bit of slavery going on.
Right.
Sorry, people.
It has to be. It has to be, you know.
And but it was just so, not all obviously was reflective of this time, but the way that there were certain portions of the country that were manipulating religion to maintain power and retain power. And the thing that sticks with most people is that the main leader in this story, his slogan was "Make America Great Again."
Are you serious?
Yes, and she wrote this in 93. So,
Wow.
but yeah, it's just kind of like a lot of the political themes in that look a lot like stuff going on now, and it's just like, them people back then be knowing. They was knowing.
I was
So
gonna say, it sounds like we kind of need to key incorporate some nonfiction into our lives. We want to be prepared for what may come. Not saying
or
it
people,
will.
right, or people who had the, like Octavia Butler, who had the foresight to, just kind of
No.
tap into that stuff and
Yeah.
write the stories about it. So
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay. Well, then, to prove that, you do read happy things.
do
Is
I?
something that you've read or listened to, musically, television, whatever, that has, inspired you positively, or that kind of has given you motivation as an artist? Because being an artist, I feel like, can be difficult if you face any kind of writer's block, or if you're trying to paint something and it's not come together. Like, are you one of those people that feels like they're more critical of their own artwork, or have you always been able to really throw yourself into it and appreciate it and move to the next project?
As far as my visual artwork, I've had pretty much a good grasp and self-confidence in that, just because there's not a lot of people that can just draw and paint. I mean, I'm not
Yeah.
saying, oh, I'm like,
No, yeah.
I'm like Dolly or anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's it's like tangible and it's and you can see it, and it's kind of like you can either draw realistically or you can't, or yada yada yada. And so I could do that, and I had self-confidence as far as that went. As far as writing goes, no, I had complete imposter syndrome. Like, I don't, you know, I haven't done this before. I don't know if it's any good. Going back to the art situation, because I didn't get feedback in time. I was like, oh, so this must be trash because they ain't say nothing. So, but I'm too far into it now, so I gotta go ahead and do it. So it, you know, no, I had complete imposter syndrome with that. I still feel like, well, I still have complete imposter syndrome with that. Other than, like, you know, just listening to myself, listening to my editor who was editing the story and was just kind of like, no, this is good, blah, blah, blah. That's the only thing I kind of had to go by, because I'm brand new. It's not like I have followers. I don't have any of that. Like, my mama didn't even know. Like, my mama knew I was writing because she knew I've been writing this story for years, and she used to always joke, when you gonna ever finish a book, blah, blah, blah. But she hadn't read it, so even my own mama couldn't be like, oh yeah, girl, that's good, or whatever. So, you know, just me and the stillness of my house, and hoping for the best, and just like, well, if it's trash, then I can at least say I finished it, whatever.
A lot of people can't even say that they've written anything. And like you say, you have a skill. The artistry part of being able to create art, that you were gonna say, you was like, nah, but literally you're doing something that a lot of people can't do. Like, I can stick figure draw anything, and I'd be like, all right. So you have that confidence, but the writing, listen, and then to be able to put it out into the world for people to critique, people to give
Right.
feedback, that's the scary part, because it's
Oh,
like,
yeah.
silence to me is like, oh, okay, noted. This was some, BS. But it's, some people are just like, they don't know how to, I guess, formulate, in my opinion, they don't know how to formulate like reviews or opinions in a way that are helpful. It's like constructive criticism is a thing, but a lot of folks just don't know how to articulate it. So I get it. Let me tell you. I get it. But it's out
Right.
here, and I feel like, if nothing else, that, like you said, that is a part of your lineage and your legacy. So who knows? Like, you look at some of these authors where their books, they have like these humble beginnings, and then out of nowhere, somebody just finds it and it blows up on or it goes
Right.
viral. So it's one of those things, it's just like, it's the timing, it's a part of the process. But I mean, some people can't even really read, so
Yeah.
it's
I
just.
mean, that is, I guess what I was really saying is that writing is especially, writing and music is especially subjective, because it's just your, it's your taste, it's your experience, is your critical thinking level, or it's all of that. Where, like I said, with art, it's kind of like you can draw a person that looks like a person or you can't. And so I could always draw a person that looked like a person, so I was kind of like, yeah, I can do that. Like, again, not trying to be overconfident, but I'm like, I could do that. I'm not worried about that. It's that writing part where it's like one person is like, oh, this is amazing, this is great, and then some person is like, I ain't feeling it, and then they their criticism is stuff that wasn't there maybe, or if it was kind of like,
Well, damn, is it like
I.
that?
Well, it was just kind of like, well, I didn't even, that's not what I was even saying. So what, okay.
It's all
So,
perspective.
right. So,
What do you do for self-care? What does self-care look like for you right now?
well, as I was saying to you before we started recording, my plantar fasciitis is messing up. I used to walk like 2.5 miles every other day, and that just cleared my mind, and you know, I it's just, it's calming, it's tranquil to do that. But I haven't been able to walk like that in a week and a half now, so I don't really know. I'm having to restart the whole, what am I gonna do? I've been drinking like ashwagandha tea, and I've been trying not to drink as much like wine, because I used to do that, but I feel like the older I've gotten, I think I'm getting an allergy to red wine. God forbid.
That
Oh Lord.
happens. That does happen. It
Right.
does happen.
Like I it's like my whole all sinuses is closed. I'm like, what
Yeah.
is this? But I do a lot of, I wouldn't say yoga. I do like semi yoga. But I do a lot of stretching, deep stretching for probably like, I don't know, 30 minutes or so to an hour. But I would not call myself a yogi just because I haven't really studied it enough or practiced or tried to get all
Right.
the poses. But I do, you know, I do several poses, deep stretches just because I am of a certain age and I just want my body to work correctly. So it's not about necessarily the yoga part of it. It's just kind of maintaining my body. And while I'm doing that, you know, I do the breathing, which really, really helps. A lot of people, I think, ignore that or take it for granted, or like there's no way that it could be as effective as people say. But it really is like once it can take a while to get into it, but once you like get that habit of the deep breathing and just canceling everything, like anytime any little thought comes in, like, oh, I gotta get this mail, I gotta file the taxes, which I do have to do still. It's not April yet.
You got 3 weeks.
I know. But anytime any of those little thoughts try to creep in, you just be like, nah, and listen to your breathing. And it's just like, for me, I'm just kind of like floating above it all. Like I can observe everything, but I'm not a part of it. I'm not a part of it. It's just kind of like I'm observing it. And so, yeah, that brings me a little bit of peace. And like I said, drinking my little teas, walking when I could, exercising in general when I could. So hopefully I can get my foot back right, because you know I like to eat too, and I got to be able to walk or exercise or something if I'm gonna eat the way I want to eat. So you know.
That's understandable. Oh my gosh. I mean, well, I will say glucosamine helps with plantar fasciitis and joint aches. So that's something you could look into and, you know, maybe do a couple of floor stretches until you back on your feet.
Yeah.
No, it's life, I guess. But I don't know what I would do if something that I'm used to doing every day, that would kind of throw me off track. Like I really be like, damn, what do I
Right.
do? Like I'd be lost in the world.
Right. Right.
Okay. So then as far as like life lessons or like a moment of failure that you've been able to learn from, what does that look like? Like have you had a in more recent years or even just something that impacted you now, you still think about it and how you've been able to overcome, like what's been a major, like not failure, but just a life lesson that you were able to learn from?
2016 was a rough year. Between 2016 and 2017, like I got laid off of a job. Well, my whole department got eliminated. Like it was 3 months, but it was like 3 months after I had closed on a house. So
Oh my God.
right. So in that span of time, it was at the end of 2016 and going into 2017. So in a year to year times, I moved like three different times, just trying to deal with that, trying to sell the house back, and I moved in with the man I am married to now, which was a I had just met him, kind of. We had just started dating for like a few months when I bought the house, and he kept saying, "You don't need to buy the house, blah blah blah." I'm like, "Whatever. I just met you. Ain't nobody trying to alter no plans. Just because I met you, we could fall out tomorrow." And then the house, the job fell through the house. And then I was like, you know what? F it. I'm just gonna move in with this man. And that's just what happened. And so we married now. But all that to say, I had three different addresses during that time, lost a job, sold a house, got another job. It's just, and obviously that was very stressful. But just go to sleep, wake up, and the tomorrow's a new day. That's all I gotta say, because some days were more stressful than others. some days had better news than others, and I would just play my little when I so a lot of times there is nothing for you to do, which is frustrating for a person like me. Like, I feel like I need to be doing something to progress towards something, a goal. Like, I gotta get a job, I gotta do something. And then sometimes there was just nothing to do. You sent out all the resumes, you read all the, you looked up all the job descriptions, you did everything, and you just have to sit there. And that was hard and could be depressing. So me personally, I would just play my little video game to get my mind off of that aspect of it, and then go to sleep. And then, the next day, hope that there was some news, some a new opening, a new opportunity. When there wasn't, I would play my video game again to occupy my mind or do something, and then just try to get to the next day. It was just try to get to the next day and not beat myself up over stuff. So, and not to say that I have the keys and the answers to life trauma, and what, and the speech that I just gave is the solution, because I don't know. It worked for me in
That
that
moment.
situation. Right. So, I could just say, just try to get to the next day. Life lesson.
Right. No, that's fair. Okay, well then, just to wrap things up, I ask all the guests that come on the show this question. This is something, it can be, something small, a small detail that just keeps you going in the thread of life, or just something, overall that you're led by. And that really is, what's a mantra or a piece of advice that you would either give like your younger self or someone that, a younger version of you that is on this journey of life as a Black woman?
Kind of dovetails with what I just said, is to just get to the next day and don't beat yourself up. Mainly, don't beat yourself up, because I am very good at that. I am my, I think most of us are our own worst critic. You can't change something that happened in the past. All you can do is try to make the best decision. Look at your options, make the best decision and calculations for moving forward. Try to be as optimistic, and don't get in a deep, a deep, dark place of depression, because I have definitely been there. And it's not fun. It's not easy to get out of. I think once you've been there, it's once you've been in that space, it's easy to, or it's easier to know when you may be headed that way again.
Slipping
And
back, yeah.
right. And so that's why I'm like, no, especially with the thing with 2016, I was like, no, I cannot go back there, because I barely made it out that first time. So, and think about what you have in that moment. Like, people say live in the moment, but live in the moment, like right now, I have a roof, I have food, I have, whatever, I have air, and I have this right now, and I will get to tomorrow when I get to tomorrow. So that's, it's easy to say, I know, but it's day to, that's day to day kind of when you're going through the darkest part. So,
No, I
that's
love
all I got.
that. Look, that's real. And I feel like at the end of the day, taking it day by day, and that's really just living in the present. And so, with the age of social media and just everybody being able to see things and you're taking in so much online, and through all these different mediums, literally taking it day by day is sometimes just enough until you're able to, get beyond whatever it is. So I'm with you. Okay. Well, before we wrap things up, where can listeners find you or connect with you online? I mean, I'll link the link to Songs of Lost Things, but of course, if you want to have that community or have people reach out to you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
On Instagram, I guess, or my website. My website is monicamccullough.com, which is just Monica Mccullough. It's a unique spelling of the family last name, but that's, slavery. I don't know. That's where we got it from. It's not traditionally how McCullough is spelled, but that's how we spell it. So,
It's unique to you, yes.
it's unique to our family. So it's monicamccullough.com, and I am on Instagram probably more than other social media platforms, and that's at Moni underscore Shy Writer. So that's MONI underscore Shy Writer, SHYWRITER. I had to remember how to spell writer real quick. And so, yeah, that's mostly where I be. That's mostly where I am.
Monica, thank you again for joining me on the episode. I tell people I am an audiobook girl. So, I purchased books. So I'm like, I'm gonna have to read it with my own two eyes. Maybe I'll get a Kindle or something so that way I can feel like I'm really like in the mode, like a real girl that'd be like reading her books on vacation.
Well, I am in the process of working on trying to get the audio book done, but again, when you are self-publishing,
Doing it all.
it's a process, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? It's steps. I got to do it in steps because I didn't have all the money
Yeah.
at one time. So, but yeah, I'm working on that, working with or in the process of trying to get a contract together with a young lady who I love her voice, and
Yeah.
anybody who has read some of the book or any of the book, it covers like nearly 30 years and different regions, so there's different accents, and it's male, female, and I had to have somebody who I felt like could do all that, especially one particular accent. You can't screw around with a New Orleans accent, okay? So
Listen,
I'm
they'll
like,
eat you
no,
up.
they will come for me. So this young woman has been living there,
Okay.
so I didn't just find somebody off the street and be like, say, baby or something. No, this is like she's been living there for a while.
Right.
So that's who I'm working with. But yeah, so hopefully that'll be, I thought it'd be out before now, but life be life, man. Or
Right.
not before now, but at least by the end of or going into April, May, but life be life. And so hopefully this summer
Yeah.
or so.
So that just means everybody needs to stay tuned, follow her on Instagram to make sure you stay up to date on any kind of updates around the book and then just all of her art and creativity out in the world. So I'll be looking for that because, I like hearing like stories being told vocally. Like it's just, I don't know, something about it gives a different perspective of what you expect the characters to sound like. And then that impacts what you think they look like. So
Right.
I'm excited for that.
Well, thank you.
You are welcome. Well, we are going to wrap up another episode of Since Y'all Don't Read. I'm your host, Mia Chantel. You can find me on Instagram at The Mia Chantel. You can find information updates on all of our guests on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on Instagram at Since Y'all Don't Read. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave a review. And that concludes another episode. Everyone enjoy. Bye.